Hello, everyone. Thank you for your invitation. I'm so humbled to be here. So today I'm going to talk about ISAC in 5G O-RAN and our experience with implementing ISAC in O-RAN, because we are a small company. We usually do UE site sensing, but we have also we had some experiments for implementing ISAC on the RAN side. Okay, yeah, so a few words about our company, because many of you might not have heard of it. We are a small company founded in 2022. We are based in California, and we specifically develop ISAC solutions for 5G and 6G in different deployment scenarios. And we are small, but we are very active in standardization bodies like 3GPP, ORAN, and ARN Alliance. And we usually develop solutions for drone detection, human, and vehicle detection. All right, thank you. So let's see what is ISAC doing in a standardization body. In 3GPP, ISAC has been studied since 2023 in release 19 with SA1 study item and RAN1 study item for channel modeling. Currently, there are activities in RAN1 and RAN3 for release 20 ISAC for 5G advanced and 6G, and also the normative specifications will be available in early 2029 for 6G. But we believe that we don't need to wait until then, and we can develop ISAC solutions and implement that in the existing network and resources that we have. Thank you. So yeah, as I mentioned, we can, and also other previous presentations also mentioned that we can develop and implement ISAC in the existing network. And that's true in some sense. We can develop and implement ISAC in the two deployment scenarios, TRP-UE and UE-TRP sensing modes. TRP-UE means a UE is transmitting a signal, and Gnode B transmits a signal, and UE receives it and operates the sensing function. And the UE-TRP is where the UE transmit in the uplink, and the Gnode B starts sensing and operates a sensing function. But we don't need to change any waveform or maybe even allocate anything. What we do is we use the existing NR waveforms and signal in the uplink and downlink, and essentially we use the existing communication reference signals in the uplink and downlink. Thank you. So we have the waveform, we have the air interface, and now how can we implement ISAC in the RAN side? I think you have seen this architecture multiple times today. We have the ORAN architecture, we have different interfaces, and what we do is we try to implement ISAC as a DApp in the DU. And when we do that, what happens is that everything is in the DU and no information is going outside the DU. So we believe that we don't need to, at least for now, we don't need to change any interfaces outside the DU. But what happens is that implement ISAC as a DApp in the DU, our challenge was that there is a need to provide the DApp with the Hi-Fi data that is processed in L1 in a real-time manner. So essentially in a sub 10 millisecond scale. So that is where we have a problem today. And that is basically proposed to have a specific interface to provide the apps with the Hi-Fi data in a sub 10 millisecond scale. So that is the E3 interface. But in our implementation, we didn't have that interface, so we had to come up with custom solutions to provide our DApp with the data set, the IQ samples from the Gnode B. Okay, so here you can see a lab demo we had with collaboration with Vodafone. The use case is people detection and tracking. This is our sensing chain. We have a Pixel 6a UE. It transmits SRS for the communication purposes. And the Gnode B is an OAI protocol stack Gnode B that receives the SRS. And but the SRS is, after the IQ sample is being processed in the Gnode B, we have this Xiaomi Ring, the service that runs in the same in with a shared memory with the Gnode B, and that tries to read the IQ sample. So in this way, what happens is that there is no interference or delay in the communication pipeline. But the system, the service that we develop, it tries to read the IQ samples at the same time and provide that to the DApp. And so we also have the specifications for the SRS, what was the comp number, what was the bandwidth and everything. So if you run the video, we can see. So yeah, here we have multiple target detection and tracking. There are two rectangles around the targets. One is blue and one is red. The blue one is the computer vision for ground truth for training and evaluation. And the red one is the ISAC. So in the next slide, we can see the results that we have with this demo. So essentially we have a detection, it's called average precision detection, is 96% average precision detection of 50, means that if the intersection of the two rectangles, the blue one and the red one, over the union of those is at least 50%, then we declare a detection. So if we increase that number, like if we have AP 75 or more, then this detection AP will be also decreased. So we have a range RMSE of 2.4 and an AOA average mean of 5.5 degrees. I should have done some math here to calculate the error in the horizontal and vertical. So, but I think also we don't have the specifications, the KPIs are still, they are not defined into GPP. So, but anyway, this is also the result. Is we can see the PDF of the range error. It shows that most of the range error are behind 2 meters, but still we have a long tail there too. So that is why the range RMSE is still is above two meters. So. Okay, so what we learned from our experiment was that, first of all, we think that OFDM passive sensing provides us a feasible solution for ISAC, at least for now. And we also learned that our challenge was to get the data from the DU and provided the app with that data. And the challenge was not getting a signal or inference part. The challenge was that integration part and providing real-time data to the app. And so we also learned that we don't need any hardware change, at least for now, in the RAN. And but eventually we will have Isaac implemented in a network scale where we will have multi-static sensing modes. We will have monostatic sensing modes with dedicated signals. So all these sophisticated deployment scenarios will need changes in the O-RAN. And we believe that there should be some modifications or extensions in the interfaces in the first step, so that the sensing, so that the data flow can support sensing related data transmission. And we also think that eventually we will need hardware modifications and enhancement to support dedicated signal transmission and receive in the RAN and even in the UE. What we think is that for Isaac is not a research problem anymore, and we also believe that O-RAN needs to start with interfaces for integration of Isaac. It needs to start with interfaces, and also we don't need to wait for 6G. Thank you.
Thank you for presentation, and well experimented. I have just small concern. In your presentation, it might be viewed, misleading. DApp and the E3 interface. It's not pre-standard. It's a proprietary solution and it's research. And if you put that in the presentation, then it could be, quite misleading. It sounds like, those are just proprietary solution, you do the processing, in standard actually depends on, the 6D study in the, working group 4, while you can do the, necessary processing, and then data can be, management data can be collected. That's the standard way. And what you presented is a proprietary solution, and any company can have the DU to the necessary processing for monostatic. But for the bistatic and multistatic solution, what you presented actually it doesn't work. And it's not even multi-vendor interoperable. So I'm just make my observation, it's a good presentation once again, but it could be slightly misleading. Yeah.
Thank you.
So you mentioned the term passive sensing in your presentation and active, but it seems that you're pointing out to bistatic or multistatic sensing as passive sensing and monostatic as active sensing.
Bistatic can be active too, but we are using a passive sensing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The question in the studies you've done so far, did you get enough data for characterization as well, or just that you found an object? But is there enough data coming off in 5G for characterization of that object?
Not that I know of. Thank you.
I have one question, Marco Babovic, NEC. When you are doing this prototyping that you are doing, do you also measure and benchmark the utilization or the compute, the cost of the compute that you are doing and associating to the DU in the app that you are producing? And maybe if you can give us some hints, it would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't have that information now, but I'm sure we are doing that too.
Hi, my name is Akash. Thank you for showing this. And at least you showed there is a ground level work going on. My question is for the sensing you showed, does it or will it be possible for fast moving devices, or you see any challenges there if the device is moving faster than just walking?
Yeah, there are challenges for fast moving devices. That's correct.
Yeah, for the performance that you were showing, just a couple of questions. So how long was the sensing signal itself in time? And then also for the shipping of the CSI from, you know, between the DApp, what you call the DApp box, do you have any idea how much, what is the volume of data that you had to ship back and forth? Uh-huh.
No, I'm afraid I'm not that aware of that part. But your first question was?
Yeah, so the sensing signal itself, I mean, how long is it in time?
Yeah. So it was every 5 milliseconds. But I think it was like 20 minutes of data.
20 milliseconds in five, like multiple repetitions of a 5 millisecond signal?
Yeah.
Okay.